I heard this story about a wealthy man, and he was wealthy, and he walks into a pet store, and he sees this gift he wants to get for his mom. It's a talking bird. And so this talking bird could sing Amazing Grace, and it could recite Psalms 23. And so he thought, what a great gift for my mom. And so this bird cost $30,000. And so he bought the bird, he put it on his MasterCard, and he shipped it to his mother. And on Mother's Day, he made this call, and he says, Mom, did you get the bird I sent you? And she said, I did. It was delicious. That's my mama, okay? That's what my mama would do. And so today we honor mothers. And Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. Right. Amen? And so there's many mothers who raise sons and daughters, and many of them raise them before the king. And so before we get started, I just want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come. And Lord, I have given you my life. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use me tonight, that you would speak a rhema word through me, that your word would cut through bone and joint. And Spirit of the living God, fall in this place. Fall in this place. Make yourself at home. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. My main point tonight is that no matter what kind of mom you have, or what kind of mom you have been, we all come to the King to get wisdom that will save our lives, wisdom that will help us to grow up our children. And for those of you that are here tonight, I want to speak to you about a verse the Lord gave me prophetically. Now, I did not want to be up here tonight because I was like, oh, babe, you're such a great preacher. How many of you love hearing Pastor Trevor preach? It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. But God gave me a word today for this house. And so can we stand and honor the reading of the word tonight? And there's a lot of scripture here. If you can't stand, that's fine, Mama Jill. You can just go ahead and read it from your seat. But we're going to read this together. And it's our text is out of 1 Kings 3, 16 through 28, and it says this, now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. And when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The woman said, no. The living one is my son. The dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, no, the dead one is yours and the living one is mine. And so they argued before the king. The king said, this one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. While the other one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. Then the king says, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword to the king. He then gave an order, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. And then the king gave his ruling, giving the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is the mother. When all of Israel heard the verdict, the king had given. They held the king in awe because they saw he had the wisdom from God to administer justice. My Lord, you may be seated. Now, this is a story. Now, this story, I mean, they come swinging out the gate. They hit you right in the face. They say, two prostitutes. I'm like, whoa. Not one prostitute, but two prostitutes. Now, we all know what prostitutes are. They're women of what they call ill repute, right? They're women who sell their bodies for sex. And I love that the word says this in 1 Kings 3:16. It says, now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. Women. Now, back in the day, and even some places today, women are the lowest of the low. And if women are on the bottom of the social chain, where do you think prostitutes sit? Okay? I mean, even today, if you were to see a prostitute, believe it or not, when we had our house church, we had a prostitute that would come, and that's what she did for a living, and she would come to our church. And sometimes the women would see her walking, and they'd grab their husband and walk on the other. You know, they'd be like, oh, no, girl. And she's just there to stand before the king. She just wants to stand before the king. And women and men of God, hear me when I say, I want you to know that no matter who you are, no matter what you do or what you've done, you can, through Jesus, stand before the king. See, I myself would have been looked at crazy because I've been a mother who's done crazy things. I've been a bad mother. Shut your mouth. You know, come on. You know, I've been a bad mother. And so mothers, if you have been careless with your words, physically abusive, emotionally manipulative, violent, selfish, competitive, emotionally unavailable, passively aggressive, whether you're a good mom or a bad mom, whether you're a prostitute or a priest, con man or a saint, I love that the word says, through Jesus, we can all stand before the king. Now, I don't know about you, but we can have an altar call for that right now. Right now, we can just come up before the Lord and stand before the king and go home. Because you don't need what I have, you need what he has. And so God has a history of using people that we think are disqualified. Okay, we think they're not good enough to stand before the king. They think that we need to be polished up and proper before we stand before the king. But I want to tell you, through Jesus and what he did on the cross, it says we all can stand before the king. So I don't care, you know, you might be like, well, Pastor Dina, I ain't no prostitute. Okay, great. But even if you've been the best mom in the world, you know, or you had the greatest mom, here's what the word says in Isaiah 64:6. Read it with me. It says, we are all infected, hello, and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like the autumn leaves, we wither and fall. And our sin is swept away like the wind. So whose mama is he talking about now? All of our mamas. Whether they're good, bad, or ugly. And so when I looked at this text, the Lord began to speak things to me through this text. The first thing the Lord says to me is out of 1 Kings 3:19, it says, during the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. Now, when I saw that, I thought, oh my God. Now, there are no perfect parents in here, right? The only perfect parent is Jesus. I mean, we're all just trying to survive. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you got kids, you're just trying to survive. Roman, you're just trying to survive. You know what I'm saying? It's like, help me, Lord. See, God is the only perfect parent. And so I know it's Mother's Day, but I want to talk to every parent up in here. And there, I got some teenagers in here that'll testify, yeah, there are no perfect parents, Adina. You're right. There are no perfect parents. And so she laid on him. And so there are parents who are laying on their kids. They're laying guilt. They're laying shame. They're laying on their kids. Parents, if you're arguing in front of your kids, you're laying on them. See, it says that she laid on her baby. See, we have to be careful or we will suffocate our kids. We will suffocate our children with our hang-ups and our distractions or even our traditions. She laid on him. Are y'all hearing me? See, some of our mamas, they laid some stuff on us and dang near killed us. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. See, it says in the Bible that children are a gift and a reward from the Lord. Okay, so let me pause here for a minute. A gift and a reward. Now, my husband just had a birthday. May the 4th be with you. He just had a birthday. And we celebrated him. We went and we had breakfast. It was beautiful. And I had his gift all wrapped. And it was, I'm so proud of myself because for 9 years, what? I forgot your birthday. I mean, come on. I mean, anybody could, that could happen to anybody. But anyway, so I wrap this gift up and, you know, he's all excited. He unwraps it and they're these beautiful linen shirts. He's wearing one tonight. Looks so handsome. These beautiful linen shirts that I got him from Dillard's. And you know Dillard's don't play, okay? You're dropping at least $80 on a shirt. So that's love. A gift and a reward. Okay? Yeah, I love you. And so he took that gift, and he took them out of the box, and he, oh, baby, these are nice. And he threw them gifts on the bottom of the bed. He just threw that gift on the bed. Now, I didn't know that until I came in the room, and I wanted to lay down, and I put my feet on him, and I said, no, he did not. Take the gift that I gave him and threw it on the floor. Now, it wasn't on the floor, but it was on the end of the bed. But I just felt so disrespected. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that cost me a lot of money. I had to go to Dillard's, okay? I don't like shopping. So God says children are a gift and a reward. And here we are laying on the gift. Just laying on the gift. Laying our problems on the gift like they're our peers. Come on. Just laying on the gift. I mean, if I was irritated about some shirts, how do you think the Lord feels about the gift and the reward? Look, I want to go through this because we've been here for a minute and I'm looking at the clock. And so I want to go to the next step. So why did the mother lay on the child in the first place? Because that's how my mind works. Well, it says because she fell asleep. Pretty basic. It says she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, I, your servant, who slaves in the house of God. I, your servant, who prays. I, your servant, who worships. I, your servant. I love that, don't you? While I, your servant, was asleep. So I thought a servant of the king fell asleep. And some of you servants are tired. You're just tired, period. And maybe even weary right now. And the definition of weary is defined as this, as a feeling or showing tiredness, especially as a result of excessive exertion or lack of sleep. Anyone who served Jesus for a minute, can I get an amen, is tired. Okay, I don't even know, 14 years, my sister, I don't even get it. I was like, you're tired. My God. Anyone who has served in any capacity, any parent who has served their children, grandparents who are raising kids, you are tired. Sylvia, can I get a witness in here? Okay, spiritual parents, natural parents have experienced being tired or weary because we all get tired. We all get frustrated. We all get distracted. And do we have, am I the only one? Is it just me? I, your servant? Come on. How many of you remember when you first brought that baby home? My God. We got any parents that have kids under four in the room? You know, you just brought that baby home, and I don't know, for some reason that baby only wants to cry between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. I don't understand it. I don't know why it happens. All I know is Claire's dad and I, we had a pact. If we had to get up after 11 p.m., nobody talks. Nobody talks because somebody's going to say something stupid. Okay? Somebody's going to get upset. So if it's after 11 p.m., we don't talk because somebody could get hurt. So I said, I, your servant, was asleep. See, we all sleep. And it may not be the kind of sleep we want. It may not be deep. But the Bible warns us about the dangers of the different kind of sleep. See, there's a sleep in the natural, you know, and there's a sleep in the spiritual. Okay? So this spiritual sleep, it's like, well, I worked all day. I'm tired. I just don't feel like going to church. I'm tired. I'm tired. I know, you know, it's I shouldn't give my child this phone, but I'm tired. I know that I shouldn't let TikTok train up a child, but I'm tired. So, you know, we can put on many episodes of Daniel Lyon and many episodes of Euphoria and many episodes of Stranger Things or Friends or whatever your thing is because I'm tired. Okay? And when we have, as parents fall asleep spiritually, we begin to slowly move away from God. Because I, your servant, is tired. And so as we slowly move away from the presence of God, little by little, we stop praying. That's always the first thing to go. We don't want to worship. We're standing before the presence with our arms crossed. What time is it? I, your servant, is tired. You know, we stop going to the meetings, stop going to services. Instead of being transformed, we are conformed. You know, because what happens is it's like this bottle. You know, I have a full bottle of water here because this is someone who is full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And when the world comes against you, they're going to grip you and try to break you. But because you're full, don't matter how tired I am, I will bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. But when you're tired, And drama happens because it will happen. I will crush you because there's nothing in you. There's nothing in you. And so Hebrews 10:25 says this, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. Not us, them other people. Those some people. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So what is he saying? It's like, man, I don't feel like going to church. Hey, Jim, come on, man. Let's just go into the house of the Lord. Let me encourage you to go be with Jesus. You know, I love this because it says, now that the day of his return is drawing near, mothers and fathers, wake up. Don't lay on your babies. Ephesians 5:14 says, this is why it is said, wake up, sleepers. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Amen. Wake up, sleepers. Wake up, sleepers. I don't know about you, but I want Christ to shine on me. And many of you know that because I had a head injury, I suffer crazy insomnia. I sometimes I would be awake for 48 to 72 hours at a time. And my neurologist recently gave me Ambien. Hallelujah. My God. Woo. You know, I tell you what, when you don't sleep for 48 or 72 hours, you are crazy. You are literally a crazy person. You're snapping at every, what you say to me? Baby, I said good morning. Oh, that's what I thought. I mean, Ambien, who knew? So I take these Ambien pills, you know, and I'm bringing this up because I want to go back. And this is why it says, wake up, sleepers. Wake up, sleepers. So I take these Ambien pills. And it says on the bottle, take in bed. Now, I'm thinking, they don't mean that. That's a typo. That's a typo. They meant take before bed. No, they mean what they say. Take in bed. So, you know, that don't apply to me. So I'm going to go brush my teeth and wash my face. Pop in that Ambien. And I'm fine. I'm just going to go do that. And I'm in there, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm washing my face. And next thing you know, I'm like this. Boom. I mean, I knocked everything off the counter, and I kid you not, I am literally standing like this with my head in the sink and my body like, poor Pastor Trevor, he comes running in, you know, and now that I'm, you know, 60 pounds lighter, he sweeps me up into his arms and he carries me into the bed. Oh, woman. And he lays me gently down. And then he realizes, oh, I needed to ask her something. And he's like, babe, baby, hey, hey, he's poking me. He's, hey, babe, babe, Adina, Adina. And I mean, he's, hey. And I'm just awake, sleepers. Awake. Some of us are on Ambien right now. Some of us, I could poke you with a stick. And you're not going, Danny, you're not going to wake up. You're not going to wake up. And again, I say, wake up. Parents, wake up. See, to be awake is to serve God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. To be awake is to be obedient to the word. You know, folks running over around here talking about we woke. You're not woke. You're on Ambien. Okay? To be awake is seeking first the kingdom and its righteousness. To be awake is laying aside those things that easily ensnare us. See, it means to fill our mouth with praise and worship and invite him into our day. That instead of Jehovah Java, hello? It's Jehovah Jireh. You know, we're like, oh, Jehovah Java. My provider. You know, you can't get your life straight without your coffee. You know, you can't even talk to your spouse. You're like, la, 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 la. Oh, there you are, the precious. I mean, seriously? It's Jehovah Jireh. We're calling out because it's not by our power, nor by our might. It's by his spirit. Judges says this, awake, awake, Deborah. Sing a song. Arise, Barak. Take away your captives. Mothers, I'm talking to you. Arise. Arise, mothers. Because when you arise, when you arise, when you become awake, then Baraks will begin to follow after you. When you wake up, the sons in your life will arise. When we wake up, our boys will arise. And I love how she's saying this. It's like Deborah. Arise. And I don't know about you, but I want to wake up so that my sons can follow me into battle. Wake up, mothers. Wake up, Lisette, so that your sons can follow you into the battle. Wake up, Suma, so your sons can arise. Amen. And so, I don't know about you, I only have a daughter, but I have many spiritual sons. Many spiritual sons. And because I woke up, they can now arise. And that's what I'm saying to the mothers. When I was a youth pastor, there was a mother who got offended with the church. She got offended. Go figure. And as she got offended, she became, you know, offended, and she began to fall asleep spiritually. And she ended up going back into the things of the world, and she ended up losing her marriage and her kids and her home and her purpose. And she's now homeless, both physically and spiritually, because she fell asleep. And it impacted her son so deeply. I ran into him the other day and I could barely recognize him because his mama fell asleep. And so you better thank God if your mama's awake, saying, boy, you better come on to the house of the Lord. You better come on, because she's helping you to arise. The third point is that while she was sleeping, her child was stolen from her. Wow, Jesus. So now that we're all wide awake, but let's right now take inventory. It was dark. She was sleeping. And her child was stolen. I want you to repeat that after me, okay? Say it with me. It was dark. She was sleeping. And the child was stolen. See, the enemy is waiting for an opportunity. Now, a lot of you guys know I grew up in New York, so I got a little hood in me, okay? From the south side of the kingdom, as they say. And we have a ring camera. Everybody, y'all don't know what that is, right? And on this property, we have ring cameras everywhere. They're everywhere. And like I told you, before Ambien, I would be up, you know, all hours of the night. And so I would hear the ring going off, you know, at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. And I would say, "Can I help you?" on the ring on the church property. And as I'm saying, "Hey, can I help you?" You know, it's never in the day when a thief comes. It's always at night. 95% of the robberies happen at night. And I tell you what, there is so much activity at 2, 3, 4 a.m. I'm like, where are y'all coming from? I mean, the freaks come out at night. That's a real song, okay? I'm serious. I mean, they are creeping around the property like I'm watching a thriller video. I'm not kidding you. It's frightening. And I'm saying to them, "Can I help you?" And they think it's God himself. Because I'm sure they're on something, 3 a.m., you know? And so they're just like looking and grabbing their stuff and scurrying off the property. See, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil," what does it say? "Your friend, your homie, your ride or die." No, it says here, the adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He wants to steal your kids. He wants to take them away. And see, what's happening is you don't even realize it, that with this phone thing, that's a whole nother level. Would you even dare let your child open a door in the middle of the night and let somebody just walk in, but you're okay to give them a phone? Where God knows who has just stepped into your house, speaking God knows what? It was dark. And these kids are on the phone, you know. My daughter, man, this was back in the day. My daughter's 23 now, man. And I would roll into the house, and she would, you know, I'd be like, "What are you doing?" She'd be like, "Nothing. I'm just going to sleep, mother." The pastor's daughter. "Oh, my God. I'm going to sleep, Mom." And I'd, you know, because your spidey senses start tingling. We call that the Holy Spirit. And you're like, a little too quiet. You know, you bust in that room and that bright light, not even smart enough to dim it. You know what I mean? That bright light flashes on and you're like, "Who are you letting in my house? Who are you letting in my house right now?" You know, I see moms who are like, "My kid is 17 and she ain't getting a phone." Praise God. Praise God. See, we shouldn't give the enemy that kind of access. Or we may be like this woman who wakes up. In 1 Kings 3:21, it says, "The next morning I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead." See, I don't know about you, but I don't want my spiritual sons and daughters to be dead, whether that's physical or spiritual. Just dead to the things of God. Just walking in sin everywhere you turn. Dead. Waking up in the morning to see her son was dead. See, because when it's nighttime, things always look different. You know, back in the day, we'd be at the club, and you know, it's like nighttime, and all of a sudden that light turns on, you're like, whoa, who are you? Whoa. You know, we call that the ugly light. You know what I'm saying? Because at night, things look different. And see, when she got up in the morning light, oh my God, when the light of his presence comes in the room, things look different. Things look different. And I want y'all to know there's good news here tonight, because God is saying, I'm turning the light on. I'm turning the light on. I'm turning the light on. And so God says, I'm turning the light on tonight, because there's some things you need to see, mother. There's some things you need to see, father. There's some things you need to see, men and women of God. I'm turning the light on. And so sometimes when the light gets turned on, we're like, ah, whoo. You know, you're like, ah, ah. You know what? I ain't ready for that. You know, my godson wakes up and he wakes up. You know, because the light is too bright. There's good news tonight, dear ones. The light may be too bright. But once you adjust yourself, once you wake up a little bit, then the light starts to warm your body. The light starts to bring life. He's turning the light on. He's turning the light on tonight. And so all of us have an opportunity to stand before the King. And that's your opportunity tonight. And so if you've been someone who've laid on your kids, if you've been someone who's been letting the darkness come in, this isn't just a Mother's Day thing. This is a us thing. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord to turn the light on. Jesus, turn the light on. I want to see you, God. God, though initially it may hurt a little bit as the light shines in my eyes, it may hurt a little bit, but God, I want to get adjusted to you. I want my eyes to adjust to your ways, Jesus. I want you to turn the light on.